When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
What's up, Buckeye fans? Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5. We're coming to you a little later than usual. We had some behind-the-scenes difficulties that delayed the start of the show that usually goes out pretty early. So if you are wondering why you're seeing this a little bit later, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, that's why. We had some issues. Also, that is going to impact. If you look for this in your podcast feed, you will see that on Saturday instead of Friday. So if you notice this pops up on YouTube, but you don't see it in your podcast feed, that is why. It will get there. It just will be a little bit later than usual. I am Patrick Murphy, subbing in for Dave Biddle, who is still on vacation, and happy to be joined by Jonah Booker. And we have a fun show for you. But before we get to that, Jonah, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. Glad you can hop on here and get the Friday show back on track. And I appreciate you taking the time for subbing in for Dave.
Yeah, well, you know, Dave, I like to do these shows, and Dave obviously deserves some time off from every once in a while. So, you know, we'll sub in. And then Dan Rubin's obviously been doing most of these shows this week. He's got some stuff going on. So, you know, I'm happy to sub in when I can. On today's show, we are going to reflect on our favorite Ohio State memories, our least favorite Ohio State memories. And if you're watching this live, feel free to throw some of yours in the comments section and we can review some of those. We had some questions from people on the front row over on Bucknuts. We'll answer some of those. But if you have questions and you're watching this live and want to throw them in there, I do want to mention real quick, as if you're watching this, you can see at the bottom of the screen right now, Bucknuts, we are running a 60% off VIP deal. Great opportunity if you are not already a Bucknuts member. So check that out. We're heading into the heat of recruiting season, and Garrick will be covering all that. You don't want to miss it. Anyway, let's get into it. Jonah, let's start with the negative. We'll get that out of the way first. When you think bad Buckeye memories, what comes to mind for you?
I will say two Michigan State losses. Those were kind of critical. I mean, if you want to go back 1998, I think that was kind of a turning point loss for the program. You had Ohio State ranked number one. They were poised to go to a BCS national championship, 4-touchdown favorite against Michigan State. Nick Saban was the coach at the time. I mean, this Ohio State team was just absolutely loaded. Up 24-9 in the third quarter. Looks like this game was going to be a wrap. And then they just kept turning the ball over. Have 5 turnovers. Michigan State goes on a 19-point unanswered run. And it was just a devastating loss. 28-24 was the final. And you look at that game, Patrick, and that was probably the game, I mean, outside of the Michigan losses, that really kind of set the wheels in motion for John Cooper. As far as to being the end of his tenure. And Nick Saban has even talked about that game as being one of the catalysts to him getting that job to LSU because that was his marquee game. When Michigan State came in, I believe they were 5-4 at the time. They're just a middle of the road, average football team. They end up finishing like 6-6 that year. But just the vitriol and the reaction. I remember I was young at the time, and still in freshman year of high school, so middle school, something like that. But I just remember like how upset everyone was because they felt like this was the year Ohio State was going to win that national championship, and they lost that one game and it knocked them out of contention.
Yeah, that was going to be one of mine. I think most Buckeye fans who were alive for that game were going to think back and just how surprising and how sort of miserable that one was. I watched that game from home, but my good buddy Greg tells the story all the time. I think it was the first game he went to. His dad took him to the game, and it was like the worst first experience to have at the Horseshoe. Of just like, I mean, he thought it was awesome, you know, as a young kid getting to go to the Shoe and seeing the Buckeyes in person, either the first time or one of the first times. And but he always says like, man, that was a rough, you know, introduction to Ohio State football, but it set him up. He's a Browns fan, so you know he's got that in him, and you know he had to learn about losing early. Big Cavs fan. Shout out to my buddy Greg. But yeah, that one. And then you mentioned another Michigan State game, so we might be on the same page here. Are you talking about the Big Ten championship game?
No, I was talking about the 2015 regular season game.
Okay, all right. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a second. Yeah, the one I was talking about was Ohio State's first appearance in the Big Ten championship game back when we still had legends and leaders in the Big Ten. At the time, I was only covering Ohio State part-time, so I was still able to enjoy the games as a fan, or in this case, not enjoy the game. I was living in a small apartment in Grandview, and we had a bunch of people over. Too many people for my little living room. And my girlfriend at the time, we had some of her friends over. It was like our first event as a couple. And that game did not go well. I did not handle it well. I ended up, game ends. Like, I thought for sure, my roommate and I at the time, we were like, yeah, we'll have people over. It'll be great. Buckeyes will win. Like, you know, they're undefeated regular season. They're going to win this game, go on and make a run at a national championship. And then they lose that game, and I just left the house. I just walked. I went and walked around Grandview for like 15 minutes just to cool off. I get back. My girlfriend and a couple of her friends are standing in the front yard, and she comes up and just lights me up on like, you can't invite people over and then just leave. And I was like, look, you did not want to be around me after that game. So that's one that always sticks out to me. Take us through that 2015 Michigan State game for you.
Oh, coming off the national championship game, 23-game winning streak dating back to 2014. And that game, because you're going into it, Michigan State, they were a good football team, but Connor Cook was injured that game. And so I remember the weather just being nasty at that game. And you look at it, hindsight, and you're just like, man, that game right there probably prevented Ohio State from going back to back because that 2015 team was just absolutely loaded. When you look at all of the guys that was on that squad that got drafted, but yeah, going into that game, especially with Connor Cook out, you're thinking, all right, Ohio State has this; they have this one in the bag, and for whatever reason, they didn't feed Zeke. And you remember Zeke had that kind of a post-game blow-up in the locker room?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he called there.
Yeah, you were there. So there you go. So he called out the coaches for not giving them the football. And Michigan State, Michael Geiger, kicker for Michigan State, nailed a 41-yard game-winning field goal. And when you look back, it's crazy because now we're talking about the 14 playoff at the time. And they always say – who was the most deserving and who was the best team. Right. There was no doubt in my mind in 2015, Ohio State, that squad was one of the four best teams in college football. And they got left out in large part because of that game. and they would have went on to win the national championship. And I always think to myself, if Ohio State would have went back to back national champions, like, I mean, you're talking about dynasty for the Buckeyes, something that has never been done in within the program. And where would people be at? Where would, you know, where would Urban Meyer be at? Like, would things that took place later on down the line, would it even matter to say, hey, we're not firing a back-to-back national championship coach? And so I look at that game and I'm just like, that was a devastating loss for the program. Because they finished, 12-1, beat up Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl afterwards. Mm-hmm. They smoked Michigan like 42-13 that year in the bounce back. And I was just like, man, this team is so good and they're not going to have a shot at a national championship.
Yeah, that game was wild. I talked to people subsequently who were involved in like the planning for that game. And from what I understand, obviously, I know it's come out since then. Zeke goes to the hospital that week because he'd been really sick and they're pumping him with fluids and whatnot. So the Buckeyes were, a little skeptical on how useful he would be in that game, not thinking about that this is Ezekiel freaking Elliott, right? Right. He's going to be all right. And but also, I guess Urban and the offensive staff had identified the back end of Michigan's defense, the safeties, as like an area they could attack and thought, even though JT Barrett didn't have the biggest arm, like that's somewhere we can go. And then if you remember, you mentioned that weather. That all rolled in really late. Like Friday evening was when it all of a sudden started to get bad. And they just didn't have a plan B when they couldn't throw the ball down the field because the weather was so bad. And like, that's one of the things I've always put on Urban is like, great coach, don't get me wrong. But when things did not go according to plan, he did not always have that, okay, here's what we turn to next. You know, we plan for this type of thing. And, usually his plan A worked pretty well. But when it didn't, and, you know, we saw it a few times, not just that game, but Iowa, Purdue, games like that, that they lost that were just inexplicable losses, right? It just was like, okay, why have you changed anything? Like, what's going on? So this isn't to talk negatively about Urban. My other one, and, you know, we could probably do a whole show on just unfortunate memories, but I want to get to the good ones. The one that stands out, the USC game in Columbus. In what year was that? 2008, 2000, something like that. When the Trojans come in here, freshman quarterback Mac Barkley. I had just moved back onto campus, and that was a wild day on campus. A night game. I know we don't know what those are anymore, but night game. Everyone was buzzing. There were USC fans around. Like it was a great setup for that game. We were, you know, we just moved back. We got our new place. Like everything's looking great. We get to the game and, well, everyone knows how it goes. Tight game throughout. And then Matt Barkley and McKnight, rest his soul, drive down at the end of that game and beat the Buckeyes. And like, I left that game. I couldn't speak. Like I didn't know. I'd been yelling my head off the whole game. But I just like didn't know what to do. My phone was dead. I had a BlackBerry at the time. And my apartment was like a ways away. I'm just wandering around High Street with no phone. Yeah. I end up getting back to a buddy's house. And they're like, we were about to call the cops. We thought you were dead. We thought you did something stupid. And I was like, no, I've just been wandering around like in a daze. Because I just didn't. How did a freshman quarterback just come into the horseshoe and win that game? And that was like... That was one of those. I woke up the next morning. I woke up Monday. Like, man, that really still happened. That was always a tough one for me to get over.
That USC team was stacked, though. The surrounding talent that they had, they were absolutely loaded. And you know, you take me down memory lane because USC at the time, Pat, man, like that college football was so different when USC was good.
Agreed.
Like just to have like a very good presence like on the West Coast, like they were one of those teams to where I didn't hate them because they really wasn't like a rival to like Ohio State, and I didn't love them. I just appreciated like how Pete Carroll just was able to accumulate so much freaking talent. Like you remember like back in the days they used to have before the websites, you used to look at like the recruiting magazines.
Yeah.
You go through it and you're looking, and you're like USC, Louisiana commit, USC, like all over. Like they were like one of the teams at the like at the very first time when like recruiting was like really becoming big business, to where they were recruiting nationally and they were getting guys like all over the place. And I just remember like how stacked Pete Carroll had those squads. Just take me, you're taking me down memory lane with that one.
Yeah. And what was so tough about that is I'd gone out as a fan with my buddy to watch the game the year before. And that obviously, you know, Buckeyes get destroyed. You know, Todd Beckman gets benched. Terrell Pryor comes in. Yeah. Funny story about that game. We're sitting, you know, at the top of the Coliseum, and this guy next to us is just ripping Todd Beckman. And finally, this guy in front of him, younger guy, like college age guy, but big dude, turns around, looks at this guy, and he's like, "That's my effing brother, man. Oh, you better." No. Yeah. So at halftime, this guy leaves, and my buddy like taps him on the shoulder. He's like, "Are you really Todd Beckman's brother?" He's like, "Yeah, this is our mom, like our dad." He's like, you know, he was like, "Look, I'm fine with," he was a college football player. Like, he's like, "I'm fine with people voicing their opinions. Like, we see Todd's playing bad." He's like, "But he just took it over the line. Like, I had to say something." And I was like, "Oh no, you're every right for you to say something." So the second half of that game, we just talked with them a lot and didn't really pay attention to what was going on because it was so bad. But I thought for sure that next year, coming back to Columbus, like Ohio State had the experienced team.
Yeah,
man, I was just confident that they were going to handle the business that day, and they did not. Rough day for the Buckeyes. All right, let's get to some good memories, Jonah. What? Obviously, you know, there's some very obvious ones. And by the way, if you're watching this live on YouTube or whatever, feel free to throw some of your favorite or least favorite Buckeye memories in the chat. But Jonah, what are some good ones that stand out to you?
Well, you gotta include the national championship versus Miami out of Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, because you remember at the time that was like razor thin margin for that Ohio State team. Like they were winning everything by the chin of their hair, the hair on their chin, man. And going in Miami, they were just absolutely loaded with talent. Like they're coming off like a ridiculous winning streak. I believe they were double digit favorites going into that game. And you looked at it and most people thought it's like, "Oh, Ohio State, happy to be there." And at the time, everybody in America was cheering for the Buckeyes. This is kind of like before Ohio State was like really nationally hated.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had this Miami team who was a juggernaut. And then Ohio State was just going blow for blow, blow for blow. And winning that game, I was just like, "I can't believe it. I couldn't believe it." Because you're going in and you're like, "I hope they win. But I don't know if they can beat this Miami team," because this Miami team was being built up as being the invincible team. There was no way that anybody was going to beat them. Like, they just had so much NFL talent. You look back at that Miami team, they had like a ton of NFL Hall of Famers kind of going through that pipeline at the time. But yeah, that game right there stood out to me as just a pivotal mark in Ohio State football history.
Yeah, and that game was, to your point, like no one believed, everyone hoped the Buckeyes could win, but that Miami team, they're going back to back. They were loaded, as you said. And like, I remember I don't remember if it was ESPN did a 30 for 30 or whatever it was a few years ago that talked about like, it had Bobby Carpenter and those guys talking about just the disrespect that they felt. And like, this is an undefeated Ohio State team. They played some really good teams that year, but just no one's picking them. Miami's already planning their post or their celebrations back at home. Like, I don't know if you needed much more motivation for a national championship game, but you certainly got it in the build up to that game, listening to the national media and things like that as they talked about it. I want to throw a couple comments we got in here.
And before you do that, wasn't there an issue with Maurice Corrett and Andy Geiger at the time, like leading up to that?
Yeah, Maurice had his buddy had just passed away back in Ohio. And so he wanted to go home and they had to figure out like travel, if I remember correctly, so he could get there and get back, and miss as little time as possible. And like, if I remember, and I could be wrong on this, I feel like Maurice was like pretty adamant that like this took priority over the national championship game, which, like, look, I get it to some degree. You're a freshman. You just probably are dealing with losing somebody for the first time. But yeah, there was a lot going on around that game. If you really think back and everything that went down, and then the Buckeyes take it to overtime, and then, man, some crazy plays there. You know, Maurice going and stripping the ball there after Krenzel throws the interception. You know, obviously, the broken leg. Like, I watch that game back anytime I see it on TV, and it's just amazing the guys that are in it. And like, that's today's, those guys could play today and just be, you know, at that age. All right, let's throw a couple in here. Mello says, least favorite 2019 Clemson game. That officiating was atrocious. Yeah, no doubt. I sat next to Dave Biddle for that game, and we were both just in the press box like, what the hell is going on? Like, some of those calls.
Ryan Day will agree with you there, because he came out on the podcast with the Cameron Hayward pod and said this was the game that really haunts him, because he felt like that 2019 offense and team, it would have been an absolute cinematic game between them and LSU and Joe Burrow. I thought that 2019 team, they were loaded as well.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles, because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances. chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards pay back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yeah, yeah, they were. Talking about that 2002 team, who knows this, says the whole season, so many close games, Purdue, Michigan, so many. Yeah, I mean, that was the skinnier teeth the whole season. Obviously, Holy Buckeye, but all of those games. Talking about some good games from those watching. Melo says 2024, the game at home, winning back at home. Good one there. 2014 playoff again from Melo. Yeah, that run was nuts. I mean, yeah. Looking back on the guys that they played and all that, yeah, that was wild. He also said the day that JJ signed with Ohio State. Ask Ryan Day about that one too, right? The video of him at the podium where he just kind of his knees buckle. That was funny. And then who knows this? Worst memories? Where do you start under Cooper? That's a funny one there. For good memories, I've got one that like is a unique memory for me. It was the 2012 Ohio State Michigan, or no, sorry, 2013 Ohio State Michigan game up in Ann Arbor. And that game is, if you remember, Tyvis Powell interception to stop the 2-point conversion. So that game was cool because of that. But my buddy and I went up. He had some family friends that lived in Ann Arbor. So we stayed with them. We went out the night before. They had two daughters that took us out, and we had a great time out in Ann Arbor. But the day of the game, I'd bought tickets for that game at the start of the season through Michigan. And we get outside the stadium. You know, we've been drinking a little bit, and we get outside the stadium. These are paper tickets still. I pull out the tickets, and instead of the two tickets I have a ticket and I have a receipt that looks like a ticket. Like I'd torn off the wrong thing at home, I guess. Oh. So we're standing there, like right outside the stadium. We're kind of looking around. We're like, can we go to, you know, maybe go to the ticket office and see if they can like reprint it or whatever. This guy, Buckeye fan, comes up and he's like, hey, do you guys need tickets? So I explain to him what happened. And he's like, you know, we don't have any cash on us. And this before Venmo and all that. And he's like, well, here, just take this ticket so you guys can get in. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Really appreciate it. So he starts to walk away. He turns around. He's like, actually, just take both of these tickets. He's like, I'd rather them go to Buckeye fans. Take these both. We'll, you know, just that way you guys can sit together. So we go in. We go to my seats, which are in the end zone. And it's close to kickoff. So it's already packed in there. And we're like, we're not fitting in. Like, obviously, people have stuffed their way in there. So we go to his seats. They're down in the corner of the end zone. But they're like four rows up from the field. So they're better seats. But we've got in front of us these two big guys. I mean, I don't know if they played for Michigan or not, but they're these two guys in Michigan gear. Obviously, most people are in Michigan gear. And these guys throughout the whole game, we're going back and forth. And we're having a good time. Like they're giving it to us. We're giving it to them. And that game deserved that kind of banter. Yeah. End of the game. Picks it off. The players all run over to the corner right where we were. So my buddy and I run down to the front and like high-fiving guys and whatnot. We go back up. These two guys waited for us, shook our hands, and were like, hey, like this was a lot of fun. We really appreciate you guys having a good time with us. Like congrats on the win. So like for me, that always stands out as like a game where like you kind of saw the best in fans of like somebody helping us out before the game. And then we got to see a great game. And then we get the other side of, you know, the rivalry, but also the camaraderie that comes with it, right? And kind of the respect. And I think that's something that, you know, will just always stand out for me. You got another one?
2006 Ohio State versus Michigan. That game was like watching football in heaven. Number one, I gotta set the table, Pat. You had number one versus number two going into that game. First time in a long time, 3:30 kickoff, right?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't noon, and you could just feel it. The winner of this game, Big Ten champion, the winner of this game goes to the national championship. Everything is on the line right here. I mean, I get nervous for Ohio State versus Michigan games regardless. But when it's one versus two, and at that time it's not like, oh, both of you guys are in the playoff. It's like you win and you get rewarded with everything that you've been working so hard for. Well, then we get news the night before. Bo Schembechler had passed away on that Friday. And so you're thinking, it's like, man, this Michigan team, they're going to come in emotional. They're going to play. Let's get this one for Bo. And this game starts. And you guys in Columbus, you know, sun starts to set very early during that time of the season at the end of November. So that 3:30 kickoff starts. And this is the time when Ohio State still had grass on the field before they ripped it up. And it was just a game that just went back and forth, back and forth. And you look at it, and you look at that Ohio State offense with Troy Smith, and that's when he did the, you know, the bull where he came out like that.
Oh yeah.
And that was the game where Troy Smith really solidified the Heisman that game. But when you watch it, it was like nervous tension from the time that game ended. And with that game ending under the lights, one versus two, everything on the line, young Beanie Wells breaks off that long run off the spin. He goes to the house. Troy Smith is just throwing it all over the field. And at one point, it looked like Ohio State was getting ready to pull away. Then Chad Henne, Mike Hart, those guys started marching back into the game. And I remember just watching it. It's like, my stress level, like I was young at the time, but I was like, I felt like I'm getting ready to have a heart attack. it was so stressful. But when they pulled it out, the fans rushed the field. You had people that was like cutting up the grass, like they were trying to take the grass and stuff back home part of the field because it was such a memorable game. But that one right there, seeing Ohio State versus Michigan, one versus two, ending under the lights, it was just an absolutely cinematic game for me. They didn't show up against Florida in the national championship. No. Remember that was like the layoff where it was like 57 days from the
time
Michigan until the national championship. Troy Smith went on the banquet circuit and got overweight and stuff. And Urban Meyer, he actually wrote about that in his book. And when you read his book when he was at Florida, how they were preparing for that game, it made me feel better about it because you realize we didn't have a shot. They were just absolutely loaded with that Florida squad, and there was no way that this Ohio State team was going to be able to beat them, especially when Teddy Ginn went down in that first quarter.
Yeah. I was just checking it. I bought that game on iTunes like back in the day just so I could have it. And I pulled it up on here. I still have it. It's still on here. So I can watch it on my computer. Yeah, that's a good one. One that I will just mention real quick, and then we'll get to some questions before we end this. The 2024 National Championship, obviously special. You win your first national championship in 10 years. But that was the first one I covered. I helped cover 2014, but I did it from home. And then the COVID year, Steve was there, but we only sent one person. So that was the first time I got to be on the field at the end of the game for a national championship. So that was really cool. That was one of those moments where like, yeah, I'm media, you know, I'm there. I'm, you know, supposed to be impartial doing my job. But like, as we're standing by the stage and the confetti's falling, like coaches are coming over and high-fiving us, high-fiving each other. Like it was just a cool moment to be a part of. A couple more here from people in the chat. Brian Markley, late 80s, OSU beats LSU on an interception. Steve says, my guy J-Book, salute, late show. Yeah, it is a late show. We had some technical difficulties beforehand, so we're going a little late here today. Oh no. Tim
Tiaka
Batuka. Yeah, there you go. Reference here. Let's see which other ones. There you go. The best game of all time, rivalry, Ginn Jr. Yeah, hometown Mario. NFL pros on both sides of the ball, no doubt. Okay. Yeah, he was something. All right, let's get to a few questions here before we close this out. Fox R 2001 on the message board asked, and I'll let you answer this one first. outside of David Gabriel George and retaining our current 2027 class, who do you both want to see commit to the class the most? You got a guy in mind?
Ooh, that's a great one. See, here's a funny thing with me, Patrick. I think the NIL has really, in the transfer portal, has kind of taken away from me being like super excited about recruiting right now and commits. Because, yep. I mean, you prime example, you had the kid who was committed to LSU on June 3rd talking about Go Tigers. Later on that night, he flips to Miami, probably because he got a better NIL deal. So for me, I would say DGG, the running back, that's the one that I'm really saying, okay, he's the Jeremiah Smith of running back position. If you can get him, everything else to me is just gravy, because it's still a long way until signing day. So I'm looking at this as give me him, make sure that one's locked down. Anything else, hopefully that those guys stick. The five-star defensive end that just came in, the Simone kid out of California, I think that would be my next one who I'm looking at to say, if you can get him and pair him with the defensive line recruits that are already committed, that will probably go down as one of the best classes that Larry Johnson has ever signed on paper, if he can hold on to all of these guys. That's going to be a pretty big price tag, because you have so many high-end defensive linemen, and usually those guys are scattered throughout college football. But if they can hold on to them, Larry Johnson, when everybody thinks that he's all washed up, he just absolutely puts together another stellar recruiting class.
Yeah, Marcus Fakatu, I think so you're talking about there.
Yeah, there you go.
When, he was the one I was going to say. When Larry Johnson and Matt Patricia show up at the airport for you, you know you're a big priority. That's how I'll frame that one. We got Va Beach Buckeye asking, will Julian pull it down and run more this year? What's the over-under on average number of run yards per game this year? He says 4. What do you think?
Over.
Yeah. Over. I think, look, I don't think Julian's going to become like a mobile quarterback all of a sudden, but it's clearly been beaten into his head that he's got to run more based on what we heard from him this year. So I think he does it. Not in every game, but certainly the games they need him to.
Right. Let me ask you this about that. Remember a lot of people, Justin Fields, I think he said at the time that they told him, hey, we don't want to take away from your game, but, you know, kind of be mindful, be careful about running because the quarterback room was so thin behind him. Basically, a lot of people believe C.J. Stroud was told that, hey, take care of your body. Like, don't run as much, because they were kind of skeptical about it. With the quarterback room that they have right now, feeling pretty confident about where the depth is at, do you think that they will be much more susceptible to Julian saying going ahead and pick up those hitting yards? Because I remember you guys were at a press conference and post-Michigan game, and Ryan Day said his favorite memory of that Michigan win up there was Julian saying going to go get that first down late in the game when they really needed it. He used his legs, kind of lowered his shoulder, and got the first down. And if you watch back on that clip, you'll see Ryan Day like pumping his fist, like, yeah, like firing up, like Julian saying. So there is some element there that he's saying that, hey, you gotta be able to go get those hitting yards if it's there for you. But be conscious, like, hey, you're not going to be Terrell Pryor out there, but we're going to need you to be able to move those chains, similar to how Mendoza was able to do for Indiana. You also saw it with Beck at Miami. That's kind of where Carson Beck killed Ohio State. Like, he kept them in a situation to where their offense was staying on schedule. It was like 2nd and 2. 3rd and 2, and it's because a lot of times when things broke down, Beck was able to get those hidden yards.
Yeah, for me, that's like that. Like Dave and I've said, I'm sure he said it to you, like Joe Burrow. When Joe Burrow takes off, it's intentional. You know, it's, hey, I've got 5 yards of grass and I need 4 yards for a first down. Or maybe I need 6 yards, but I put the offense in an easier spot on 2nd or 3rd down. So I think that, yeah, that's what Julian needs to do. You can't ask Julian to be somebody he's not, right? To your point about Fields. But also, you can teach him to do this here and there in the big moments or just when it's available. I mean, I remember a couple times last year, and this was the same for CJ, like there's just green grass, man. You don't have to throw it 50 yards. Go pick up 20 on the ground. Like Will Howard, go and slide and whatnot. Yeah. I do think, to answer your question, I think it's funny because like Ryan used to say his favorite play, and this was like Justin Fields' time, was the throwaway, right? He said that a lot. Like, I love it when quarterbacks just recognize, live to fight another day. But now he has a quarterback who does that instinctively. So now he's bringing up, let's run a little bit, right? Like, that's now his favorite play. So yeah. I think Ryan knows what he's doing with that. But yeah, I think the depth certainly helps. The fact that you have a guy in Tavian you can trust. You've got a guy in Justin Martin who's experienced to some degree. Like, Tavian's got the talent, but Justin's at least played in some Big Ten games. So I think that certainly plays a part. Now, you obviously don't want Julian going out there and getting hurt, but I think this, you know, the fact that you do have some guys behind him that can you trust to play, I think makes it easier. Here's one from Brian here. I have a question for both of you. I can see this year team possibly losing four games. Dan Rubin basically said I was nuts, given our history and youth and conservative coaching, I believe it. Four games? You think they lose four games? It's a tough schedule.
Ohio State's ceiling's nine games. Or their floor, I'm sorry, their floor is nine games. Tough schedule, but there's no way I can see this team losing four games. I know this offensive line didn't perform up to standards against Indiana and Miami, but there is something to be said when you have an offensive line unit together that has 80-plus starts under their belt. It's going to be one of the most veteran offensive line in college football. You have a 1,000-yard running back coming back. You like Isaiah West. They think he's going to be really good. You have the best wide receiver in college football. You have a Heisman finalist in a quarterback. Now, we all love Brian Hartline, but I think it's safe to say that experience-wise and play-calling-wise, situational-wise, Arthur Smith is an upgrade over Brian Hartline when it comes to those little nuts and bolts. We all believe that Matt Patricia is going to have this defense. Like, I don't think this defense is going to be a top five defense, but I can see them in the top 15 because the defense last year was one of those historic defense when you have the linebackers and the NFL talent and Caleb Downs being a generational safety back there as a coach. So you're obviously going to take a step back, but four games is way too many games when you look at the talent. Say what you want about it. Ohio State is going to be as equal or more talented than anybody that they play. I mean, some people are going to argue Texas, maybe Oregon. I think they're more talented than Indiana. But yeah, this tough schedule is just only going to make them that much better. But four games is asking a whole lot. I mean, it would be a colossal failure, in my opinion, if this team loses four games. Like, I can see them going to 10-2 maybe at the worst and still getting into the playoff. At that point of 10-2, you're hosting the game in Columbus. But four games, that's a little too rich for my blood.
Yeah, the last time, if you take out the 2011 Luke Fickell year, which I think – you know, it happened, but it's fair to do. That was a weird year. The last time Ohio State lost four games was 2004. Now, I know, look, this is, like you said, tough schedule. You go to Texas, go to Iowa, which is never an easy place to play, to Indiana, to USC. You've got Illinois, Oregon, Michigan, at Nebraska. So, yeah, I mean, there's potential landmines here, but, right. Like, it's still the Buckeyes, to your point, right? This is one of the most talented teams in the country. And you mentioned the defense. Like, I think there's an opportunity here for this offense to get back to what we saw early in the Ryan Day era of, like, let's throw it around. Let's use our running backs. Like, can Legend Bay get involved? Like, you've got some interesting pieces to play with. And if Julian takes that next step,
right,
watch out. Like, I'm a big – we had this conversation on the front row the other day. Like, I'm a big Julian Sayin believer. And I know this season didn't end well, but I think the lack of hype about a returning Heisman Trophy finalist – is ridiculous. Like, this kid's really good. He didn't finish the season as he wanted to, but there were other reasons for that. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this offense this year. I think four games is probably a bit much, but, you know, crazier things have happened, I guess. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Jonah, thank you so much for those watching. Thank you for waiting for this to come out. I know it was a little later. Again, I mentioned off the top, and you can see it on the bottom of the screen there, but 60% off a Bucknut subscription right now. If you head over there, please do that. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please hit that thumbs up button, subscribe. If you're listening to this on your podcast platform of choice, please leave us a 5-star review and some comments and tell your friends about the Bucknuts Morning Fives. For myself, for Jonah, for all of you, for Dave Biddle, who is still on vacation, thank you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Evolution is back on Paramount Plus.
Do you think it's possible to discern some hidden pattern shared by all serial killers?
With a new killer each week.
I see those wheels turning.
When a copycat killer emerges, the BAU will form a dark alliance with a familiar foe.
Elias, would you help us?
This season, evil is contagious.
Once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Criminal Minds Evolution. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus.